Genuinely a pleasure and privilege to be able to come and be a part of you for this brief time together. It is a joy because we belong to a big family. It's called the family of God. And we have a home wherever the family meets together. We each of us have a home. And so it's a joy to be with you. Thank you, Raj, for that passionate introduction to the Lord's Supper today. It is exciting. The things that God has done for us in Jesus Christ are incredibly exciting, aren't they? They can't help but fill our hearts with wonder and joy and peace as we consider the fullness of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. He has covered every base for us in Jesus Christ. And he's given us an inheritance which is unbelievably rich, extraordinary. So thank you, Raj. And may we each, as we read God's word, as we understand by his spirit what God has done for us, may our hearts be lifted up every day in wonder and praise and adoration, and our lives just freshly committed to him every day because of what he has done for us. We have a wonderful God. We've got a wonderful Savior. Thank you for the reading of this passage. What a wonderful, rich and deep passage this is. And over the last year or two, I have been coming back to this passage frequently. And it holds a key to what it means to live in Christ, to live the sort of life that Christ intends us to live. It holds a key. It's a very simple key, and yet it's a profound key. And we in our humanity sometimes repeatedly miss this key in how we are practically living out our lives or seek to live out our lives. See, there's a problem with our humanity, and it began in the garden. And it's the drive to be independent, to be self-sufficient, to be adequate in ourselves, to fulfill what we perceive to be our destiny in our strength. And we see it everywhere. It is the fundamental drive in our human spirit to be independent, as I said, to be sufficient, to guide our own destiny, to achieve our own happiness by the means that we perceive to be the answer to our happiness and our fulfillment in life. And it is everywhere. It is the fundamental human condition. And it is the fundamental human problem. It is the fundamental human problem. And even as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have come to faith in him, still within our humanity, in that old nature, is that drive. And it is fed continually by the world around us, by our workplace, by our education system, by our media, by our interactions. When we see other people achieving things in life and showing that independence, we in our own spirit can be drawn back into that pattern of living and thinking. Or am I exaggerating? And you're free of that issue. The answer is no. And here in this passage, Jesus is speaking to that fundamental condition of our humanity. And the central message in this passage is abide in me. Jesus says to each one of us who claim him as Saviour, Okay. Then abide in me. Not as a one-off, but as a continual way of existing, a continual way of living. Abiding in Christ is the essential and central act for every aspect of our being. It is to realize that in every dimension of our lives, including our rationality, our mind, our way of thinking, that in everything we are to abide in Him, to give it over to Him, to depend on Him, to learn to live in a total relationship of dependence with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that place of dependence, to become free. To become free of this drive to try to be what we cannot be. We cannot be our own God. We are just humans. We cannot fulfill ourselves. Only God can fulfill us. All of our wisdom is inadequate. We need the wisdom of God. We need the thinking of God. In everything, we need Jesus. In a really vital and practical way to be our head. And for He to, in Himself, be our sufficiency. And that is the key, and that is the journey of discipleship. It will include reading our Bibles and prayer and all these things. But that can so easily become just a little checklist. I've done my Bible reading today. I've done my prayer. And then I get on with my life. And how do I live my life? Well, I want to do this and I think that and this is my goal. And we shift from being focused on Christ in our little checklist to then living so easily, just living to fulfill ourselves. And in Christ's mind, that is not the life that He intends for us. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, how everyone reads that narrative, and many Christians read it in different ways, but the core of that narrative is that our first parents, were designed for intimate relationship with God, to walk with God. Face to face. Extraordinary. And they were tempted and fell to become independent, to know wisdom themselves, to become wisdom, to be able to live lives according to wisdom that they had acquired. Supposedly. And that just brought disaster. Abiding in Christ involves dependence in everything. Learning to let Him call the shots in our life. Learning to not just depend on our own rationality, our own wisdom, but to depend on His Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit is not mentioned in this passage, but it is a constant thing through John's Gospel. See, it is Christ's Spirit within us that we have to learn to depend on. It is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And it, as Raj mentioned, it's that Spirit that's been placed within us by through or the consequence of our faith in Jesus. So the Spirit of Christ is the one who needs to be calling the shots in our life. We need to learn what it means to be dependent on the Spirit of Christ within us and to abide in Christ through yielding to that Spirit. Abiding in Christ involves reckoning ourselves to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. Abiding in Christ means continually inviting His Spirit to fill us. It was never meant to be a one-off, because God wants to live in intimate communion every day with us by His Spirit. That's the fullness of life that Jesus was talking about. It wasn't to fill our lives with all sorts of good things, a car, a boat, a Ferrari, a big house, or whatever we imagine will be fantastic. His intention was far greater than that. It involves the idea that we be completed in Him. And in that completion, we find our fullness. Not in things. And it is only in that fullness of relationship that the things assume their proper place, and we don't expect more than they can give to us. A boat can't make us happy, but we can enjoy it if that's our thing. But if we expect that our boat is going to somewhere, our new boat or whatever it is going to, that new relationship, whatever it is, that somehow that is going to fulfill us and we'll find happiness and contentment, we will always find ourselves disappointed. Because we were meant for something much, much, much greater. And that is an intimate relationship with our Creator. That was why Jesus came. That we might be brought back into that relationship. And that's what He's talking about here. The key to life is to abide in Christ. To yield our lives to His Spirit, that He might live in us and through us. But as I said, we live in this tension. And we can so easily each day find that we do our little bit of Christian stuff. And then we get on with our life and forget. Forget that the fullness of life is to live in constant communion with Him. His Spirit is here to fulfill us, to fill us, and to work through us. That we might fulfill His purposes, and that we might find joy in fulfilling His purposes, because they bring Him glory. This passage talks about fruitfulness. Fruitfulness comes through abiding in Christ. Again, I confess to you in the past, as I've read this passage in years past, that my thoughts, and maybe your thoughts, have thought, oh, I need to be fruitful for God. Okay, well, what do I need to be fruitful? Well, I need to do these things. And the trap is that we try to do it in our own strength. I'm a Christian, the Spirit of God's within me. I need to be fruitful. Okay, I need to do this, and the other. And unknowingly, so easily, we can try to do it ourselves. And we forget the key, or we don't notice that the key is actually abiding in Christ. It is His Spirit within us that brings fruitfulness. We have the right DNA now to be fruitful, because we are new creatures in Christ. That's what Paul tells us, isn't it? So we've got the right DNA, but we still need the Spirit to be the one who is moving us, and that we might be fruitful. Jesus tells us here, this is my command, love each other. What sort of love? Well, His sort of love. How can any of us actually achieve that apart from the Spirit of Christ within us? God is love, John tells us in his letter. God is love, that's His essential nature. But it's not quite like our love. It's far deeper. It reaches across barriers. It loves enemies. It loves the unlovely. It loves even when people do things against us or against God. It is a profound love. How can we love that way apart from the Spirit of Christ at work within us? How can we obey Christ to love each other as we are loved by God apart from the Spirit of Christ within us? Apart from this abiding in Christ, we can make some efforts, but we'll fall down if we're not abiding. We will fall down unless we learn to abide in Christ. Talks about answered prayer. Wonderful promises, two times in this passage. But it is in the context of abiding in Christ. Because then we have the mind of Christ. Our prayers will reflect His will and His good will for the situations that we want to pray about. And we have the promise of answered prayer. It is then that our lives will truly bring glory to God as we abide in Christ, because the character and the purpose of Christ will be lived out in us. It is abiding in Christ, and that is by the Spirit of Christ. Thank you, Raj, for that emphasis in your address on the centrality of the Spirit of Christ. In recent years, it has been driven home to me how profoundly important it is that the ministry of Christ by His Spirit within us is the key to everything. The key to everything. We have to confront the fact that without such a deep abiding in Christ, we are powerless to produce fruit. We are powerless to produce fruit of ourselves. We need to confront that reality. And then we will have the desire from God to yield our lives so that we might abide in His Son by His Spirit. We have to come to the point of confessing that we cannot overcome sin in our lives without such constant abiding. To learn to abide in Christ, to allow Christ's Spirit within us to have the sway in our lives in a practical, everyday sense. We'll never overcome sin in our lives without the presence of Christ by His Spirit. We need to realize that we cannot think Christ's thoughts and know what He has for us to do apart from such abiding in Christ. We have to confront the reality that without the Spirit free to work in us, that we cannot obey and fulfill His express command to love. We need to realize that the new creation, new creature that we are, has been made for the deepest fellowship with God. That is God's desire. And it is amazing. It is incredible. That God's deepest desire is to live in deep communion and fellowship with we, His creatures. Stop and think about that and meditate on it. The God of all things, the Creator, the one who existed before the creation of this universe, the triune God who lives in intimate, loving relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, opens Himself up that He might embrace His creatures, us. And even when those creatures turn away from Him and doubt Him and go their own way, He then sends his son to stand in their place and to bear all of their burden of sin and all that results from it in terms of judgment, and to bear it all in himself, to take it all in himself. That this loving God might create a way whereby we might be reunited with him. So we're clothed in Christ's righteousness. That God might look upon us and begin to enjoy that fellowship with us. It's not just for us, it's also for him. This is incredible, isn't it? That God desires this so much, so very much. And through his son, the way is made open. And in this life, it is the key of abiding in Christ that we begin to experience the fullness of what God intends for us. I began by indicating that the human condition is about independence and self-fulfillment and self-direction. Being the captain of my own ship, the ship of my life. And that's a lonely, ultimately self-defeating way to live. And Christ, the Heavenly Father, wants us to live in fullness of life. Christ promised us that. And it is found not in independence, but in dependence. It's found in relationship with God. Where God is God, and we are his loving creatures, who finally say, I've tried to do it my way, Frank Sinatra. I've tried to do it my way, and I give up. I yield to you. I want to yield to you every day. I want to say to you, Holy Spirit, come and fill me afresh. Take away anything within me that is in the way. Help me to see bits of my life where I'm still hanging on. Help me to yield those things to you. I open myself up. All I want to do is to live in you and for you. Every day. And as the thought comes to you in the day, to literally say, Lord, come and fill me. I want to learn what it means every day to abide in you, Jesus. I want to make an end to living independently. I yield my thinking, I yield my desires, my will, I yield it all to you. And it is a journey, it's a process, it's not a one-off, and suddenly you're there, and it's all accomplished. It is a journey of walking with Christ as his disciple. This is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We come with our frailty, but we come with the knowledge of his great power. What we can't do in ourselves, he can do in us. Is anything impossible for God? Jesus asks. And the answer is no. He is sufficient for our every need. He is sufficient to tame our humanity, that we might live in the joy of being free to follow Christ. We were not created for independence, but the fall led us to live that way. Independence on God is our fulfillment. We fulfill our purpose, why we were made, as we learn to live in this relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he came to accomplish for us and in us. As I said, may we each day and just be done with our sin, confess it and put it aside, and just invite the Holy Spirit to come in and give him free rein. God is faithful, God is good, God is trustworthy, he is wise. We don't have to put any guardrails up for God in our life and say, yeah, but not that. I don't believe this about you. We can just simply come and say, whatever you want. As young people are inclined to do when they're listening to something that they don't particularly want to hear, they say, whatever. You've experienced that. But in a really sincere way, we just say to God, whatever. Whatever. Because I trust you. And I want to know that fullness in my life. Whatever, God. Just come in and fill me, cleanse me, set me to rights. Whatever. I just trust you. And I want what you have meant for me in redeeming me. I want it now. I want it now. And God will say, you've got it. I'm coming. I'm going to do it because that's his desire. His serious desire is to fulfill you through his Son, by his Spirit. That, I believe, is God's message for each one of us, including myself, this day. May you take this message. May you meditate on this passage. But may you act on it. May you act on it. Let us be doers and not just hearers of the word. Because it's in the doing of what he says that we'll find joy and peace and fulfillment that transcends anything that we could chase after in this life. I'm going to invite the gentleman to our great musicians to come up, and we've got a song which is Here I Am to Worship, and then I'd like to lead you in a final prayer, an interactive prayer. I haven't quite worked out how this is going to happen, but we need to be joined in prayer, in a prayer to God, as our hearts are moved by his word to lay hold, to lay hold, feeling like a start, that's fine, to lay hold of what Christ has for us. So get prepared for an interactive prayer. I'll work out how that's going to work in a moment.